Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today it's a money jubilee. We're celebrating listener money wins in 2020.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. This episode is all about listener wins. A few weeks ago, we asked for submissions from our listeners, all of you out there. We wanted to hear how it is that you got ahead with your money this year. Celebrating these achievements is so important. We're going to talk about why it is so important. We are really looking forward to sharing those achievements with others, as well as celebrating them with you.
Yeah, so. I think it's going to be celebratory and informative, right? Like the way that people have been able to take control of their personal finances, in particular in a really odd year that threw a lot at us. We can all learn things from fellow listeners who have done good things with their money, who have made solid money moves this year. So yeah, it should be a fun one.
Yeah, everybody was smart about it. Nobody got ahead with their money by getting lucky.
Yeah, no
one, lottery ticket stories.
No one said like, I robbed a bank and it's been great since then. So I'm glad for that. We've got some honest and ethical people in the How to Money community. But before we get to that, Matt, I wanted to let you know, I'm not sure if you grind your teeth, but actually...
No, I know you do.
I do at night. And so I read a story actually the other day that apparently a lot more people are, due to the stress of COVID and stuff like that, they found themselves grinding their teeth. They're in need of a night guard.
Makes sense.
And so yeah, dentists are seeing an uptick in requests. And something I did actually 4 years ago when I realized that I needed a night guard, I went on Amazon and I did some searching to see if anybody offered something similar to what a dentist's office offers, because my dentist was quoting me over $600 to get a night guard made.
For like the football thing that you put in your mouth, like when you're playing football?
Well, so
basically,
I'll tell you, there's a big difference.
I'm sure they're more custom, right?
Yes, completely. And it's like a different kind of plastic. So it is a big deal. Like you don't just want to get the stock $10 thing off like the shelves at Target or something.
Yeah, pick it up used at Dick's.
Yes, please
not
do.
Dick's, played against sports.
Played against sports, yes. Get a used mouth guard. That's what Matt recommends. Not me though, I promise. So yeah, but I was able to do some searching and I found that there were some companies that actually send you a very similar mold material to what your dentist uses at the dentist office. And you can get a night guard that replicates what your dentist is able to provide you. There might be some dentists out there listening who disagree or are upset at mentioning this. But for a lot of people, they can't afford a $650 night guard. It's just out of bounds. And it was for me, too, years ago. I'm like, no way I can spend this much money. I can't justify that. And so I was able to find a company that did it for, it was like $120. And
Way better.
Yeah, I'll post a link in our show notes to the company I used. Finally, it broke 4 years later, that night guard. But it was really well made. And apparently, they aren't supposed to last for forever, right? They are supposed to last for just a handful of years.
I guess it just depends on how serious of a chewer you are at night.
I guess so. And I will say, you know, my dentist, she understood my decision to do that. I talked it through with her, and she offered to make some adjustments to it on the back end. So yeah, there is a level of service you're going to get from a dental office, but it's also going to cost you a whole lot more too. So if anybody out there is finding like, man, my mouth hurts in the morning, I've been grinding my teeth at night, and they need a night guard, well, I would suggest maybe talking to your dentist, but then also looking to see if one of these other companies that takes your actual impressions and has a laboratory that creates mouth guards similar to what a dentist would produce, it's a decent middle of the road option.
Sounds better than like me going down to the bike shop, like tracing out on a piece of wood and kind of making some cuts and just like giving that to you.
You want something like George Washington teeth? Is that what you're trying to make?
But man, this does kind of raise the question is, how do you feel about going to the dentist during COVID times, you know? Just with all the health precautions that we're needing to take during this winter, but like laying there in a chair with your mouth open, you know, while somebody kind of works on you, feels like the exact opposite of what I would want to be doing. But granted, you know, you're talking about dentists disagreeing with, you know, you ordering a mouth guard on Amazon. They're also probably going to disagree with the fact that, like, I haven't been to a dentist in about 8 years.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably me being cheap, but we'll also say that for another episode where we dive into that. But yeah, like, what are your thoughts in general about going in, whether it be for doctor's visits, but yeah, just maybe more kind of elective checkups like going to a dentist?
Well, I think we've seen some of the negative effects of people not going and getting some regular routine medical procedures done or not going to the dentist when they need to. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think...
But are you comfortable with it?
I think I would. Yeah. I haven't been since the pandemic started, but I really should book another dental visit really soon. And that is one of those things where everybody's got to make their own call. But I'm sure these medical providers have taken a lot of precautions. Nothing is risk-free, right? Yeah. And but I would say sometimes there's a higher risk by not going to the doctor or by not going to the dentist. And so, Matt, you should go, and our listeners should probably go to the dentist on the reg too.
Look at these teeth.
No, they're nice. They look good. All right, well, let's move on to the beer we're having on this episode. This one is Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome Ale. They're calling it this year Welcome Back Ale, and it's because the proceeds from this beer are specifically going to support the U.S. Bartenders Guild, a group of people who certainly has been negatively affected by the pandemic. So looking forward to having this classic beer on this episode with you today, my friend.
Yeah, we're going
to
share this one together, and we're going to share our thoughts on this beer at the end of the episode. And what's great about this one, too, man, this is a beer that folks can pretty much pick up anywhere, like regardless of where you live, you can pretty much always find some Samuel Smith beers, potentially even at your local grocery store. So yeah, looking forward to this one, buddy. Let's go ahead and shift gears. Let's get to the episode.
Let's get this jubilee started.
Yeah.
And today's episode is going to be akin to like a wide receiver dance in the end zone. I don't really watch much football, Matt, but I feel like that's the best part of any football game is like the super awesome end zone celebrations. And there have been some creative ones throughout the years. I specifically remember when Terrell Owens pulled a Sharpie out of his sock, autographed the ball, tossed it in the stands. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just it sticks out in your memory, even more than the games. And yeah, we're going to talk about the importance of celebrating and how that can actually spur us on towards more action today. Making a big deal about your money wins, the money wins you experience in your life, is going to have a lot of positive effects on you moving forward, especially after a rough 2020. We're going to share our money wins, Matt and I, with you guys too, as well as sharing a bunch of awesome ones from the How to Money community. So yeah, first we just want to acknowledge and say thank you all for being a part of this episode, sending in your clips. It made us smile listening to them and preparing for this episode. So we're really excited to get to share them all with you today.
Yeah, and you know, considering that over 68% of Americans have reported experiencing some financial setbacks this year, it makes even more sense to celebrate the wins that we've experienced, right? You know, often, I know we don't celebrate after we've worked hard to achieve something. There's a sort of this tendency, I think, to have that onward and upward mentality where you're kind of constantly looking for the next best thing. Like, I know personally, I could do a better job celebrating and marking achievements, not only, you know, in my life, but in the lives of those around me as well. And with all the financial hardships that a lot of folks have experienced this year, it is good to roll with the punches and continue to stay disciplined and to work hard. But let's make sure that we are also taking time to celebrate these achievements as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about why we find it important to celebrate. I think there's a few reasons. The first one is that celebrating motivates us. It motivates us to do more and to do better and to continue on. Like, studies show that celebrating actually boosts our well-being as a human. If we never stop to acknowledge what it is that we've accomplished, it can start to feel like all you do is work without any end in sight. And so enjoying the fruits of your labor is an important part of laboring. And so if there's no end in sight, it's going to be easier to get burned out in your pursuit of your future money goals. So taking the time to pause and celebrate signifies that you've done good work, that you've accomplished something, and that it's something you're proud of. And that does spur us on. It motivates us to do even more in the future.
Yeah, you know, we should also celebrate too because it builds our confidence, right? Like, look at all I've been able to accomplish. Now I'm able to move on to an even bigger challenge. These celebrations reinforce in our mind that we have done something meaningful and that they increase our belief that we can accomplish something even more audacious. You know, also too, it's worth pointing out that it's not necessary for these celebrations to cost a lot of money or any money at all. We're not talking about, you know, dropping bank on a brand new, you know, 3 series, but it's okay to spend a little more money that month maybe than you normally would, maybe in your entertainment category, to mark a milestone that you've been working towards for that year. It could even be as simple as something like baking a student loan payoff cake, right? Or sharing maybe in the Facebook group the good news, how you've been able to maybe pay down that student loan, or if you were able to achieve some sort of savings goal. It doesn't necessarily have to be this kind of grand blowout. It doesn't necessarily need to be something that then kind of sets you back a little bit financially.
Yeah, I'm going kite surfing in Fiji to celebrate that I paid off my student loans, but I'm going into debt for that.
Feels a little counterproductive.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the best celebration necessarily, unless you have the cash on hand to pay for that trip too. And yeah, Matt, like what you were saying too, maybe sharing in the Facebook group, another benefit of celebrating is that it can motivate others at the same time. Since we today are celebrating community style, it has a positive effect on the entire community. community. Your money win, it's not really bragging. It's more like highlighting something that's taken real work and then sharing it with others in your sphere who are trying to achieve similar results. And often sharing those things can actually help give other people tactical ideas in addition to the motivation to keep after it when they're attacking their own money goals.
Yeah, and don't forget to acknowledge others, you know, when you're celebrating these wins, especially if you have a significant other who has worked alongside you to reach your collective goals. Make sure that you're celebrating together and to say thank you to others who have been instrumental in your progress. It's good to be aware of not just, you know, all the hard work that you've put into it, but the hard work and sacrifice of others as well. So Joel, before we kind of launch into some of our listener wins, you and I, you know, we talked about how we're going to share our wins this year as well. And so I'll go ahead and start things off. A couple of years ago, a lot of folks might remember how Kate and I, we started a pretty huge home renovation project. And to fund a lot of it, we took out a HELOC from our local credit union at a really low rate. Well, this year, we were able to completely pay down and eliminate that debt from our lives. Because this is our podcast. This is something, I mean, we've talked about this before. But for me, looking back, this is a huge thing for this year. This is the first time we've ever taken on a large amount of debt like that. That wasn't a mortgage, right? Where it was like an investment. And so for me, it was just a brand new experience to have the feeling of kind of what I call consumer debt, because yeah, we didn't necessarily need to, you know, to incur that debt in order to make it an investment or something that was maybe a little more money savvy, something a little bit wiser. It had a lot to do with lifestyle and the desire for us to be able to stay in this house. But, you know, we don't at all regret it, being able to virtual school this entire year while maintaining proper distances, even within our own house, has been fantastic. And so that was a huge win for us. And related to that, a goal of mine was to be able to transition away from photography, since it was stealing valuable weekend time with the family. You know, now with the kids in school, I can't just like kick off on a Friday and say, all right, you know, we're going to have family day on Friday this week. Well, it's like, oh no, like you've got school, even with virtual school. Granted, the pandemic certainly accelerated things, since weddings and events were either canceled or postponed. But man, this is a huge win that we were able to generate enough income here with the podcast this year to offset the loss of income from photography for our family. So that being said, too, a big thank you to all of our listeners out there for being a critical part of this win. You know, we couldn't make this podcast without our listeners. You being subscribed and listening every single week has allowed, yeah, Joel and I to reach some goals of our own.
Yeah, totally, man. And I think, yeah, when the pandemic hit, it was certainly a transitional time. And it was a difficult time trying to figure out what work was going to look like for you. And that is a big money win to say, I can transition away from this. And that is a big money win. And so much of our ability to continue to create this podcast is due to our listeners out there who consistently listen and support it. So thank you. And all right, my big money win for this year, Matt, was becoming a one car family. And that was something.
It was new territory for you guys.
Yeah. Something you kind of egged me on towards. And it didn't really cross my mind all that much. And we recorded that episode about what it would look like for someone to do that. And it kept sticking in my mind. And I was like, all right, I feel like it's time to try this. And especially as the prices for used cars were going up, my Nissan Leaf somehow randomly in the pandemic was worth, you know, a couple $1,000 more than it had been. And I was like, now's the time to pull the trigger.
Never happens. Yeah. Time to jump.
Used car prices don't typically go up. And so because of that, it helped us to make that happen. I miss my Nissan Leaf. I love electric vehicles. I'll definitely own another one someday. But for the time being, it was the right move for our family. So yeah, definitely celebrating that one. I also too just want to give a quick shout out to my dad. He had a big money win this year. He just retired a week ago.
Nice. Yeah. That's right.
So good for him. That's a big step to be able to take. And yeah, but really, this episode, Matt, it's all about our listeners. We want to share those money wins. We want to celebrate that. So let's get to all of those right after this break.
All right, we are back from the break, and it's time to hear now from you, our listeners. And so first up, we have sort of a motivational money win, and this one is from Andrew.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from Charleston, South Carolina. My money win this year is motivation. For so long, I have been yearning for financial independence and learning about how to get to it. But this year, we finally took small but concrete, actionable steps to get there. And as a result of that, we've gotten to a 52% savings rate. And we have saved up enough money to finally buy our first rental property. But perhaps more importantly than that, the motivation to go farther with money and to be bold has inspired me to get to raising money for Make-A-Wish in our state. I've raised $11,000 this year, and I've committed to, in my life, raising over $100,000 for them. None of this would be possible without two best buds talking about money and great beer on a podcast. And I'm so grateful for what you guys do and for what everyone in this community does. So thanks so much and cheers.
Andrew, thanks for saying that, man. It's too kind. And really, Matt and I, we do this because we love it. And hearing you say that, like, certainly means a lot. But at the same time, what you've been able to accomplish is based on your own action and taking the things that you've heard and applying them. I think, Matt, too, finding motivation and getting bold is a legitimate hurdle in our struggle to accrue money wins. Like, I don't know about other people, but I can easily find excuses to not do the things that I know I need to do. It's really easy for me to put something off, even when I know I need to do it. And it sounds like part of that motivation for Andrew was to raise money to give it away to other people. And I think finding that motivation, finding that concrete motivation that is going to spur you on towards action is huge. And I think, you know, that process obviously with Andrew has helped him get legit buttoned up with his own personal finances. A savings rate of over 50%, it's just outstanding.
Yeah. He kind of glossed over that pretty quickly, but it's like, man, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I think here, you know, the lesson as well is for all of us is to kind of find, yeah, what motivates you that you can keep front and center in your mind. And Andrew mentioned pursuing financial independence, right? And so for him, you know, looking to buy a rental property in order to generate those additional streams of income, well, use that as part of your drive to kick your finances into a higher gear and take those small, but like he said, those small but concrete steps to increase your savings rate. There's little steps that we can take every single day that can move us closer to those goals. Those are the things that we talk about every single episode here on the show. And those are the things that we want to see our listeners to implement into their lives as well.
No doubt. All right. Next, let's hear from a listener in Ireland. What's been a colossal financial storm for so many has been more of a quick thunder shower for so many HTM listeners, including this one, Christy from Ireland.
Hi, Matt and Joel. This is Christy calling from Ireland. I got made redundant during the pandemic, but because my emergency fund was good and healthy, I was able to continue living as usual, including continuing paying my childminder, which gave me lots of time to search for a job. And I have a new job starting in December. Thanks for all your advice. Love the show. Bye.
So first, isn't childminder such a good term that we should start using here in the U.S.?
Totally. I love that one.
Yeah. Like here in the U.S., it's, you know, sitting. So whether it's babysitting, pet sitting, house sitting. But like that's such an inactive and unengaged phrase, you know, like sitting. It's just like you're sitting there doing nothing. Whereas like a childminder, it's like, oh, you're being intentional. You're like leaning into the child, engaging with them. You know, I totally think we should be using that term here in the U.S.
Solid term. I agree.
But Christy, congrats on having that emergency fund in place. It's so nice to know that, you know, when hardship strikes and there's enough to worry about, you know, on so many other fronts, that our lack of money won't be tripping us up. And I want to point out, too, how difficult it can be to not only save up enough for an emergency fund, but then to not touch it, except for when there's an actual emergency.
Emergencies. Like, it's so easy to be like, oh, well, I got this emergency. I need a new jacket.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
that's not really an emergency, and that's not what your e-fund's there for.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, dude, 40% of Americans can't cover a $400 emergency. And so, yeah, having a fully funded an emergency fund is a huge win. It really sets those who have those apart.
Yeah, and to Christy, congrats on starting your new job. So often people are forced to take any job that comes along after they've been laid off or made redundant, as Christy said, which is another awesome phrase. But not Christy, right? And we can all learn from this too. That emergency fund came in huge in order to give her the time and the space to look carefully for the next right opportunity, not just the first one that came along. So make sure you have an emergency fund in place before you need it, because if you wait until you need it, it's actually too late. And Matt, I've seen that happen to other people, that they just don't have almost any savings on hand and they just have to take another job. Often it's something that they're not interested in doing. They don't want this job, but right, they have to in order to bring in the income. And that's what the a fully funded emergency fund can prevent you from having to do.
Yeah, so an emergency fund, savings are vitally important. And speaking of savings, let's hear from another listener.
Hi, this is Essie from Annapolis, Maryland. My money win this year is that I finally set up a high-interest savings account with CIT and asked my employer to automatically deposit a portion of my bi-monthly paychecks into that account. Automating my savings has been a game changer. I can't believe it took me this long to finally take that step. It is so much better than just leaving my savings sitting in my checking account the way I used to.
Essie, automating savings is a game changer. Yeah, I personally have to take advantage of automation a lot in my life because if I didn't, I would totally forget important things that I need to do. Automation is
like your anniversary, kids' birthdays.
They're all on the calendar, man, or I will miss it. I totally forgot to put someone special on my life's birthday on my calendar.
Uh-oh.
My dad, sorry, Dad. In November, I totally forgot his birthday.
Oh, didn't give him the call?
No, didn't give him the call. I remember like 2 days later, and I had to profusely apologize. But yeah, it's that kind of stuff that I would continue to forget, especially when it came to making good money moves, if I didn't automate it. So I think Ezzy's spot on that. And getting a higher interest rate is big too. Everyone should follow Ezzy's lead if you haven't switched to an online bank that eliminates fees and pays a reasonable rate of interest. By the way, Matt, new article on howtomoney.com about how you should think about switching banks in order to score higher interest. Kind of went into all the weeds on that. So if you're interested in that, we'll put that in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah, dude, most definitely. And you know, the last part of what, as he said, is the most crucial, right? If you have a direct deposit from your employer, have them deposit a portion of every single paycheck into another account that is specifically for savings goals. This can provide the right mental as well as physical barriers that allow you to grow your savings. You know, even though you could easily transfer that money over in a snap, having that one additional step in the way will allow a lot of us to pause long enough to even reconsider, like, do I really need this money? Or like, should I really be tapping this? Sometimes we need to kind of intentionally place these barriers in our lives to keep us from doing things that we know ultimately, like on a better day, that I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So having that money deposited into a separate savings account, I think that's brilliant. Excellent job, Ezzy.
Yep. All right. And let's get to next one. This one's from a listener that made some massive headway with student loans this year.
Hi, Joel and Matt. My name is Taylor, and my money win this year was that when the federal student loans went into forbearance, I took the money that I had been paying to them and applied it and doubled up the amount that I was paying on my private consolidated student loans, which were actually double the percentage of interest as my federal student loans. And so I doubled up on my private consolidated loans and was able to pay them off a lot faster until the forbearance period ends.
Nice, Taylor. That is awesome. This is the exact kind of move that we're hoping many How to Money listeners would take with the student loan forbearance period. So excellent job there. For folks who remain gainfully employed, taking that money that was going towards paying down federal loans and then redirecting that money towards either maybe beefing up your savings, paying down other debts, or you know, even paying down your federal loans faster, like that is a huge money win. So congrats on getting that private student loan monkey off your back.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, it's nice to be done with that. And obviously that forbearance, a lot of people needed that forbearance, although it was given to everyone regardless of need. And so a lot of people who didn't need it were able to accelerate other money goals, and like Taylor. So way to go, Taylor. All right, the next money win is super practical, and many of us can learn something from this one.
Hey, Joel and Matt. This is Masa from Boston, and I wanted to share my little money win for 2020. In a past episode, you asked your listeners to think about whether we actually needed Amazon Prime. After giving it some thought myself, I thought that having Prime made it way too easy to click it and ship it. Plus, I never used any of the other Prime benefits. So, when my Prime membership expired, I decided to not renew it. I further decided to intentionally add friction to the process of buying stuff from Amazon by forcing myself to collect up at least $25 worth of stuff, which may take a few items, so that I could still get free shipping. Not only that, and you all can debate whether this is frugal or cheap, I pay for my Amazon purchases with Amazon gift cards that I buy at my local grocery store using my American Express Blue Cash Preferred card, so I get 6% back on my gift card purchases. Wow, it seems like my money win for 2020 was brought to you by the letter A. I ended up giving the $120 Prime membership fee and then some as a tip to my local ramen shop. Shout out to Yume Okatare. Anyway, thanks for your awesome podcast and keep up the good work.
Joel, Masa makes a great point here. You know, the biggest pitfall of Amazon Prime isn't necessarily the $120 you spend. It's the frictionless ease that could cause you to spend potentially hundreds or even thousands more than you intended to over the years. Amazon wants to make it easy for you to spend your money. And creating that $25 threshold is helpful to curb shipping costs, but also it prevents you from making those impulse purchases, just like we're talking about with Ezzy, you know, having that money in a separate account. If you're able to make it more difficult for you to be parted with your money, I think that's a wise move. We're doing something similar right now with Walmart Plus. You know, we're not members, but I was wanting to buy something from them the other day, and dude, I am not going to pay for shipping. And so that, you know, those items are just sitting there in the cart, and it's causing me to obviously not purchase those items as quickly, and so it's slowing down my consumption and also giving me time to consider, like, oh, do I actually need those additional Fruit of the Loom thermal shirts here in the winter because I want to stay warm, or maybe I can make do with what I already have.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good tactic, a good approach.
Yeah, leaving stuff in the shopping cart, it can definitely help. And creating more friction in the buying process, for most people, that sounds stupid. But for people that want to save money, it's brilliant, right? Yeah. It's a good way to go. And also, too, Amex Blue Cash Preferred for the win. That's a great strategy to save even more on certain purchases at Amazon or home improvement stores, because those gift cards, you don't usually find those on discount. To get that 6% discount is pretty good. So this is definitely frugal. Plus the fact that you gave that Amazon Prime fee away, Masa, to your local ramen shop. That's so generous. We're all about making sure that we're taking steps to support the local businesses, especially restaurants right now. In particular, the ones that we love the most, the ones that we want to stick around through 2020. So I love your generosity and being able to tie the money you're saving with a gift you're able to give. It's just so fulfilling. So it's such a great way to think about it.
Plus, just hearing him talk about a ramen shop, man, it makes me realize I haven't been to my favorite local spot here recently. So I need to head over to Lifting Noodles over here in East Atlanta to make sure that they are receiving my support as well.
Yeah. Get your ramen on, man.
Yeah. All right. We've got several more listener wins that we're going to get to, as well as a few from Facebook as well. We'll get to those right after this break.
All right, we're back from the break. It's the How to Money year-end jubilee. We're featuring your listener wins. It's already been a lot of fun, but Matt, we've got more to share. So let's get to that next listener money win.
Hi, guys. My name is Sam, and I just want to thank you so much for all your time and advice. I'm the first in my family to go to college, and I'm the first to actually start investing my money. I come from not the most ideal economic situation growing up, and I kid you not when I say your podcast has changed the trajectory of my future. I've learned such better financial and budgeting skills on both the macro and micro scale. I've learned to invest and make my money go further, and I'm passing this on to my siblings as well. And just thank you so much. 2020 has been an interesting year for everybody, but on this way, it's been a really great year for personal growth. Thanks.
Dang, Sam, thank you so much for sharing that. It is incredible to hear that you've been able to take some of the advice that you've heard on the show and implement it well. You know, you're talking about going to school, being the first to do that. Like, being the first can be daunting. You know, the voices that you've been surrounded by your entire life just haven't necessarily provided the education or insight that makes a strong financial journey easy either, right? But you kept at it with determination to get that education and to change that cycle. So major kudos to you.
Yeah, and the fact too that Sam is making headway with her own money by investing it, but then she's also passing that knowledge on to her siblings.
So good.
That's incredible, right? It's just a great reminder to do what we can to help other loved ones when it's possible for us. The simple concepts of spending less than you make and investing some of your money can be something that we almost take for granted. Probably a lot of How to Money listeners, they've
right.
They've been in the personal finance space long enough where it feels like everybody should know that, but not everybody knows that.
Right.
And so it's just so important to make sure that those around us have that knowledge as well. And I think there was an article, I don't know, months and months ago, Matt, in the New York Times, talking about how just the best financial advisor can be someone in your life, someone already in your life that you know. It doesn't have to be someone that you hire, someone who wears a fancy suit. And sometimes you can be that in somebody else's life. And the fact that Sam is kind of being that motivational inspiration and aid in the life of her siblings is huge.
So true, man. Yeah, I love that. All right, let's keep moving. Another listener suffered a job loss, but still managed some major money wins. Let's hear that one.
Hey, Matt and Joel. My name's Blake. I'm out here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've been listening to you guys for a few years now. I wanted to call in to tell you both how much you've helped me through this pandemic, as well as share my 2020 money wins for your end of year episode. You guys have mentioned that 2020 has been an absolute dumpster fire. I couldn't agree more. The dumpster fire specific to me was that I got laid off in April. As scary as that was, money really wasn't a stressor, thanks to the tools and resources you guys have laid out throughout the years. I was lucky enough after about 6 months and what seemed like thousands, but more realistically hundreds of applications to get a job in October. I picked up my girlfriend and our dog and moved from Brooklyn, New York to Nashville, Tennessee. As for my 2020 money wins, luckily I was pretty much ready to go when I got laid off. I had zero credit card debt and I had a small emergency fund built up and was still paying my student loans. That had a huge impact on my mental health during my unemployment. It was great to have that sort of to fall back on if it was ever needed. And luckily I made it through the unemployment with no credit card debt, a nearly tripled emergency fund, and mildly less student loans. And luckily I've landed in a place with lower cost of living. So yeah, those are my money wins. I appreciate everything you guys have done. I'm still learning the Nashville beer scene, but if you're ever in Brooklyn, check out Strong Rope Brewery. You won't regret it. Keep up the good work. Happy holidays to you and your families. Take it easy. Blake.
Blake, oh my goodness, man, that is so much change in 1 year, and yeah, moving to a new city, laid off, finding a new job, and I know that can be, you know, a frustrating, daunting process, trying to find new work too, especially in today's environment. So congrats on all you've been able to accomplish, considering all those headwinds you were facing. By the way, since you're new to the Nashville beer scene, Matt and I will let you know a couple of our favorites. Bearded Iris and Southern Grist are two good ones to visit since you're there now. Congrats on coming out even further ahead on your savings despite that job loss. And this is definitely major cause for celebration. To say that you're further ahead on your finances than you were even with all that stuff you faced is just incredible.
Yeah, as Blake shows, there's so much flexibility you have when you are prepared for emergencies ahead of time. You know, you can move to a lower cost city and you've got additional time flexibility to find the right job. And that kind of helps to maintain your mental health, but it also adds to your mental fortitude as well. Blake, because of all this, you're tougher as well. And so, yeah, great job there. So, Joel, let's get to our next listener win. Let's hear one about a listener in San Diego who is taking awesome steps towards securing a solid retirement.
Hi, Joel and Matt. This is Tyler in San Diego. My 2020 achievement of the year is finally maxing out in full my Roth IRA and my 401k contributions for this year. Thanks a lot for the show and keep it up.
Man, Tyler, maxing out your retirement accounts. Definitely a win. That's a big win that is hard to get for a whole lot of people. So the fact that you were able to hit that $25,000 in 1 year, congrats on that, man. That's huge. And obviously, I'm sure you didn't get here overnight. It took a lot of time and dedication. So I'll just say saving for retirement, something that might be 20, 30, or even 40 years away, it's hard to do for so many people. And the fact that you were able to prioritize it to this extent is just incredible. And so, yeah, for any of our other listeners out there, Matt, if that's a goal of theirs, it's hard to just turn the dial and be like, yep, doing it in 2021.
This is something I'm now going to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's something that will take maybe a couple of years of cutting back and intentionally putting more and just creeping up towards that goal.
Right.
But major kudos to Tyler for making it happen. I'm going to think of that 25K as like a down payment on his future. It's pretty awesome. And we got one more listener money win we want to share. And actually, this one is two money wins rolled into one.
Hi, Joel and Matt. This is Sandy from New England. I want to share two money wins that I had this year. Number one, I finally reached my goal of having 6 months worth of expenses in an emergency account. I was able to enjoy that for all of about a month because then in October, my water heater and gas burner finally went kaput and I had to replace both of those items. So for a little while, I was kind of bummed because I had to dip into that emergency fund, but then of course I realized that's what it's for. And by the end of the year, I should be back up to about 5 months worth of an emergency fund, and I'll continue to fund it. My second win this year was setting up a monthly recurring donation to a local nonprofit. I set it up to come out of my account, $100 every month, so I feel pretty good that by the end of the year, I'll have contributed $1,200 to this particular charitable organization. I appreciate all the things you guys share with us every week, and I'm looking forward to 2021. Thanks so much.
Sandy, that is awesome. Sounds like you got that emergency fund in shape just in time. Congrats on not having to rely on credit cards at a high rate of interest in order to cover that that unexpected expense. And, you know, you mentioned giving. We're fans of intentionally giving money away. So, you know, we're pumped to see that you've made this a goal and that you've hit it. I think it can be tempting, especially when a big expense arises that slams into your emergency fund, to look for maybe some other places to cut back, like perhaps your giving. But, you know, your perspective is spot on. And doesn't it feel so dang good to hit those goals personally and to be part of the mission of a nonprofit? I think that is just awesome. I'm so glad that you were able to do that. And this is another win too for automation. You know, we were talking earlier about just finding ways to automate things to get you moving into the direction that you want to be. I think sometimes folks can kind of downplay automation a little bit because maybe it removes the heart from what it is that you're doing. But I think whatever it takes to get the ball rolling, and then just the fact that that is something you are then doing becomes a part of who you are. And I think that's more important. The fact that, A, you're doing it, and then over time, you kind of adopt that as who you are. You are somebody who gives to charity. You've taken the intentional steps to move towards that goal. You're crushing it, and keep it up, Sandy.
Yeah, man, I think automation is huge. And when giving, I agree. I think a lot of people say, no, I don't want to automate it because I will lose the heart behind it. But, you know, actually, our family sponsored a kiddo on unbound.org, which is a super cool website helping kids and their families, you know, across the world. And it was fun to do with my daughters to pick a child that we could support. And you know what? We have something on the side of our fridge where we're reminded about that, where that money's going and who it's helping, how it's helping our family. So we want to automate it so we don't forget, because like I said earlier, yeah, I'm prone to forgetting. Like, I need that automation. If I didn't do it, her family wouldn't get the support they need. And so there's just other ways to remind yourself about the good that's happening because of your gift, as opposed to having to actually physically make the contribution every single month.
Right.
All right, Matt, let's just mention a couple people chimed in on Facebook too. Didn't have quite the time to send in a voice memo. Sarah mentioned that she paid off $8,000 in credit card debt, has credit card debt now of $0. So yeah, big props to Sarah. Steve refinanced a mortgage, was able to knock off PMI, and is saving $200
Very
a
nice.
Month now, right? Yeah, that's pretty good. And then Jesse and his wife have both actually been working more this year. They're both essential workers. His wife is a nurse, and they're maxing out both their 401k and IRA contributions. So all those money wins are just so awesome. Thank you guys for sharing every single one of them. It's inspiring to hear what you guys are up to, and it feels more like there's a movement happening of people doing really awesome things with their money, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think this is just such a great way to finish up the year, right? We feel it's important to make sure that you take a minute to celebrate any of your own financial wins too, you know, even if they seem tiny, before you get too busy making those New Year's resolutions. It's actually motivational to see those victories as you start planning your next financial conquest. And remember too that, you know, when it comes to celebrating these wins, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Joel, you and I were actually going to be celebrating with our wives tonight, kind of celebrating the year and, you know, the things that we were able to accomplish. And we're going to do that at home with a nice, you know, simple at-home cooked meal. We're going to grill up some ribeyes. And of course, we're going to have a nice bottle of some craft beer because that's what we do. But it doesn't have to be this extravagant thing. It can be something as small as yeah, cooking a meal at home without the kids, having some grown-up time without the kids kind of tugging on the shirts or paying for some babysitters as well. So.
Yeah. And then hopefully we're going to pull out some Ticket to Ride, have a couple games.
Oh, yes. That's something that we used to do way more, dude.
I know.
Playing strategy board games. And I'm really looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, the amount of board game hangout time in my life has been drastically reduced.
Yes.
I miss it, so I'm excited to play some board games tonight. But yeah, I mean, it really
is so good.
It's not fancy. You know, we're not going to some fancy steakhouse or anything. Like, we're celebrating indoors in our own homes, and just that time is going to be special. I agree. So kudos to all of you who have made great money strides this year. I hope this episode has been motivational to you. And hopefully in 2021, we're going to do another Money Jubilee celebrating even more listener wins next year. So
yeah, and next year we'll include you.
That's right, you. Yeah, you heard us. All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on the show. This one is Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome Ale, called Welcome Back Ale this year, because they're raising funds for the U.S. Bartenders Guild. Man, what were your thoughts on this beer?
I'll point out, I think the first thing that you always notice about a Samuel Smith bottle of beer is that it's always got the gold foil.
It's classy like that.
Yeah. So that's one of the first things that stood out. But yeah, this was a delicious kind of malty winter ale. I feel that maybe one of the ways to describe it is like a kind of a warming beer. It has maybe some subtle kind of winter spices within the flavor profile. But yeah, this is a really tasty beer. This is a fun, appropriate beer to kind of end the year on, right? And so this is welcome back. This is the 2021 version of this beer. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, kind of like a lot of dark herb beers, and this one I would say is more in like the brown ale category.
Yeah.
It, as it warms up, you kind of start to see more of the nuance in the beer. Specifically in this one, the spice notes became a little more evident. I like this beer mostly because it's literally one of the first really good beers I remember having and kind of helped me get into beer as well. Kind of like the Trader Joe's beer that we had on Monday's episode. Those Belgian beers, this English beer, they were kind of the beginning for me in finding out about good beer. So this one holds a special place in my heart, and I agree, it's a perfect year-end beer to have on the show.
Yeah, we're so sentimental. What kind of, you know, end of the year, we're bringing it back home, like going back to our origins as to where it is that we started drinking craft beer. But glad that we were able to share this one. And a lot of listeners, like I said earlier, can find this one too locally. It's not a beer that's super rare or something that's way so experimental that it would turn maybe a lot of people off. This is a beer that a lot of people could drink. So yeah, we'll link to any of the different resources that we mentioned during this episode within our show notes for this episode. And you can find those at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and we hope you have a safe and fun New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing you back here in January. We're really excited about the podcast episodes we're going to be able to bring to you next year, including some really awesome interview episodes coming in January too. So look out for those. And if you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure to do that so you continually get notified of the episodes that we're releasing.
Yeah, so happy New Year's to everyone out there. And Joel, until next time.
Until next year.
Oh, until next year.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.